You know, another one of my favorite people that I've watched for quite a few years, and most of you know him, and he always gives people lots to think about, and he's pretty nice when you go to college, and he went to college and studied religions, so that he knows what we believe here. He also knows what the other religions believe. And, you know, every religion is right if it's right for you and you really follow it. And say for me, it wouldn't be right for me to get on my knees to pray to talk to God, because I know he hears my every thought. But for some people, that's the right thing to do. But Dan understands all the religions, and he knows the Bible, and he always makes his talks interesting. And Julio, nope. Dan, he almost ran out when I said it was going to be you, Dan. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry, Dan. Sit down there. But our speaker, a young man's going to share his thoughts with us tonight, is our Dan Hare.
Thank you.
I've loved him a lot of years now, even though he disappeared for a few years. Love him anyway.
Did I disappear?
Yes, you did. You didn't notice.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how that happens.
It's amazing how that happens.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I think he was chasing girls, probably.
Yeah, I was chasing girls, yeah. Oh, man. I wish that was the case. I'd probably catch one if I chased him, but I'm not too good at chasing girls. I didn't figure that one out yet.
Figure that out?
I'm either too slow or too
Wait,
something.
Now, careful, you're talking, people are hearing you.
Oh, and this is going on the internet now. Oh, gosh, anyway. Thank you. It's always good to be here. Hey, you know, I want to continue on some big ideas. I call them the big ideas in the book of Romans. And I'll review in a second. But the thing that I'm finding really interesting, even for me in these recent years, is the language that we speak. You know, we come from an era, and I'm no spring chicken, and I still use the American Standard Version, and that's what they used in the 70s. So I find it so interesting that the language that we use today for common things is different in many nuances than the language that we used 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, we're looking at a story, a book, the Bible, the Holy Bible, that was written over 2,000 years ago. So there's been this evolution of, it's contextualized, it's epistemology, it's the evolution of words. And I was talking with a friend, a brother, actually from this church just a few days ago, and he says, well, like, what Bible do you mean? Like, there's so many different meanings to it. And it really, if you look at the Bible in total, it has one major theme, and it's about the redemption or the reuniting of man to God in very general terms. Now, you can go in and people can argue, and they do. They argue about the stupidest things. They argue about what this little thing means and that little thing means, and then they don't like it, and they go start another church. And then they have 38 different churches because they disagree on really things that I think are stupid. Because at the end of the day, God created us to be a vessel for his glory, a vessel for his energy, a vessel for him to work his very life through. Jesus was a very dynamic, well, aside from being God incarnate, forsaking who he was, the form of God, and taking on this limited vessel for the time that he was on earth. But he made some astonishing statements and claims. He says, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my namesake, you're going to gain it. Okay, well, that's kind of an interesting thought. And then for those who have listened to me over time, you know, I'm really kind of a broken record because I come back to pretty much the same sort of message time and time again. And it's like we hit it, you know, from angle one, angle two, angle three, angle four. And one of the things in this language thing is we look at the book of Romans, there's basically four sections. One is about sin. Remember that word that, you know, you kind of get that creepy feeling. And then there's one, salvation. And then there's a section about sanctification. And then there's a section about service. So the thing that's so interesting to me is some of you, when you say sin, and I remember when Penny read Romans 6 when we were in that portion, I was looking at the faces, and it was like, you guys were checked out. It was language that was, it was not connecting. It was like, you know, you might hear this televangelist on TV yelling at you, telling you that you're bad. You know what I'm saying? There's that feeling around this word. And then salvation, and, you know, and I can just see it. Be saved, and, you know, all this fire and brimstone. But it's a word that has a history to it. And so I want to just review a bit, and then I want to go on today's thing. And I think there's going to be a really interesting thing that happens tonight. The idea of sin is correlated to the word salvation. And I remember when I was speaking the other a few months ago, it's as though sin is when the lamp is not plugged into the socket and it's dark. Salvation, or being alive to God, is really simple. It's when you plug in to the electrical outlet, the source, and the light comes on. Pretty simple. Kind of refreshing. It's not saying you're bad. It might say that you're in darkness, because you're not plugged into the outlet. And so I want to examine a little bit this idea of what's it mean to be plugged into the outlet, more so in Romans 8. But as we do in Romans 6, to go back just for a quick little review, the Apostle Paul, who went through his own thing, he was out killing Christians. He went 18 years relearning the scriptures. He was not a particularly good dude. He was a religious person, but he was a very zealous person. He was looking on this script, and his script didn't agree with what was going on, and he was so fervent, he was out condoning the killing of Christians. And then God shone his light out of heaven, and he had an experience that literally blinded him. And at the end of the day, you guys, we all have to have our own experience with God. And ultimately, it's not even about the angels coming and speaking to us, which is great. We hear from our loved ones. But it's ultimately about each and every one of us being plugged in and having that receptacle, that light go on within us. It's very individualistic. You can't live off of the experience of someone else. You know, I remember over the years, you know, these great Christian guys, and they were good guys, and somebody would meet a kind of a famous person, like a Billy Graham, and they would talk about Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham's a big name, at least in the olden days. a few decades ago. And I kind of, it never quite sat with me. It was like, well, wait a minute. Billy Graham is a man, a wonderful man, who had this experience with God. Everyone has to have their own thing with God, okay? Now, there's a problem, though. And this is where the problem comes in. And I want to read to you, at the end of chapter 7, Paul goes through this dissertation in chapter 6. He says, why do you keep working for an old employer? You know, why do you go to work and show up and you work for sin, being unplugged, okay, not being present? Why do you keep going back to that place when you've been baptized in Christ, you've been identified with his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Why do you go back to that place where you're unplugged? Why do you go to darkness and to that place where you live in the past or you live in the future and you forget about where life is in this very moment? You'll never live tomorrow and you'll never live yesterday. And you think about your life, and as I think about my life, how much life do I lose when I'm constantly replaying yesterday? And I know we get it sometimes from, you know, well-meaning parents or people at school or work of, you're not enough, you're not this, you're not that. And I've talked many times about whose narrative about your life are you going to believe? And there's people that run around and they're so miserable. And I remember, I think it was Tony Robbins, the great speaker, was saying to this one man who had, he was just defeated. And he said, tell me what it's like to be like you. And he basically went through, he says, well, gosh, you know, I do this and that happens. And he said, wow, yeah, stop it. Quit thinking that way. Change the way that you think and you will change the way that you feel. You basically feel what you focus on. So Paul goes into chapter 7 and he goes, you know, I keep telling you this stuff. And he says, there's this law at work within us. There's this thing in me where on the one hand, I want to please God. And on the other hand, it's like I just keep doing the things I don't want to do. Does anybody have that experience in life? Okay. That may be only one of you because it's a pretty good looking group in here and I thought you're all, you know, pretty, I'm just messing with you. But I think we all have that experience where we have this conflict inside where we're trying to do the right thing. But our mind gets in the way and we do the things we don't want to do. And so this is the really coolest scripture I've come across in a while, and I'm even having to kind of relearn it. It says in Romans 8:1, let me get here. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, the things that I would, I don't. He says, oh my God, oh wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of sin and death? He's just exasperated. I'm so defeated. And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself with my mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, if you think about it, in some mystical ways, there's a disease, dis-ease. Remember, sickness is dis-ease within your body. And we have so many memories plugged into our experience that we hold on to that we have dis-ease in our body. We have memory, literally memory. And I'm thinking that in body work, you can sometimes feel the knots and all the things that are in your body that are disease, and their tensions and their stresses, and they're things that take you back. They take you out of the present moment. And then Paul goes on to say, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And this is what I love. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Meaning, he broke the cord. Or in a way, he rebridged it. He gave us a bridge back to being plugged in. So the light bulb goes on rather than being unplugged where it's dark. Plugged in, light. Really simple. Sin, salvation. Remember, the word salvation comes from this Greek word that talks about, it's the word picture of a ship crashing against the rocks and breaking into, you know, 1,000 pieces. Salvation is the process of gluing it back together into perfection. And that's kind of what we are. We're unplugged oftentimes. We get into that dark place. We think in the past. We let the tapes of our youth or of yesterday or this thing or that thing take us out of this very moment. And it's the law of sin and death that stunts us from our potential. It takes us away from being present in the moment. And you know why that's important? And I see this with myself, number one, I'm chief offender, but with a whole variety of people that they say, man, I just can't do this and I can't do that. And they've got every excuse in the world why they don't do the things that they want to do. They have every single thing. It's because they're going back to that body of sin and death where you're holding thoughts, where you're holding memories that don't serve you. You're holding a narrative that you didn't even think up. You're holding a narrative about your life that somebody else told you. Maybe it was your father or mother. You know, God bless them. Maybe they're doing the best they can, but maybe they didn't give you the right narrative. But it's time to grow up and to be free, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, it's interesting. In the world of laws, there are greater laws and there are lesser laws. For example, if I was to, I'm not going to drop it because it's my computer. The law of gravity would cause us to crash to the floor, right? However, the strength of me holding it up is a greater law than the law of gravity. So, at the end of the day, and I'm going to close with this because I think if you have questions or whatnot. At the end of the day, your biggest enemy and my biggest enemy in our spiritual walk is not being present. It's going to a place where you start thinking and you think and you think and you think, and it takes you out of this place where you can look for the next miracle of God in your present. So often we're in our minds, we can't even see what God's put right in front of us. You know what I'm saying? And so when Jesus died and rose and went to heaven, and he says he's going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to give you a helper. And I think that in our daily practice, and this is why I like yoga so much, is that it allows me to get quiet. It allows me to get into that place where the monkey mind, and trust me, I have a monkey mind. I mean, it allows me to calm down and not even talk to God, but listen. To listen. To get that still, quiet nudge. To feel something and to quiet the mind. It's the holiest of holy places to be quiet. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you, as well as myself, is to have a time every day where you get quiet. I have an author that I like. His name is Gary A. Scott, GaryAScott.com. He's not a preacher or anything or a teacher, but he's actually an investment counselor. One of the most spiritual men I've ever come across. And he talks about every morning having an hour of silence. And you know what I've done for so many years? Man, wake up, 2 million minutes, click, morning show. I miss so much of that time with God. And then that causes me to have the monkey mind. So many things going on. And then I get into this frenetic day. And I'm starting, just in recent weeks actually, of not watching the tube nearly as much, 80%. In that quiet place, I've been listening to like the American Indian music that Larry plays up for the healing stools. And there's a group called Enigma that I just find really, it just takes me to a place, you know. And Craig from our church was telling me about the Monroe Institute and how they use sound frequencies to get you at that total relaxed state to literally become conscious. And when I mean conscious, out of body, able to see the universe in total victory, total power. And I think so much of the time we miss that place because we're just too busy. We're talking too much. So at the end of the day, I want you to listen. Have a quiet time with the living God. Ask him to draw you close by the Holy Spirit. And let's just see what happens on that. Okay, thank you.